Denmark recently announced it will seek female conscription to boost defense beginning in 2026. Denmark will become the third country in Europe to introduce female conscription, following in the footsteps of Norway and Sweden. The move has ignited national debate here in South Korea over mandatory military service for women, a topic that has long been contested amid the country's plunging youth population and evolving threats from North Korea. So on today's Zoom In segment, we've invited Choi Byung-wook, professor of the Department of National Security at Sangmyeong University. He joins us via Zoom to discuss more about female conscription and perhaps fundamental solution to Korea's contracting military troops. Good morning, Professor Choi.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for joining us. Here's something that caught our attention on CNN. It writes, South Korea's military has a new enemy, population math. So we want to start talking about the demographics. Defense experts are sending out warnings that without drastic changes, the size of South Korea's military forces will decrease by over 20,000 every year from 2035. Can you first give our listeners more details on the outlook? How concerned are you as an expert about the shrinking pool of young Korean men?
Yes, it's a big problem. South Korea is facing a serious population crisis. The declining population directly affects the defense sector the most. South Korea has conscription, but it's getting harder and harder to find enough people for the military. South Korea has a total of 500,000 soldiers. To maintain that number, we need 200,000 new soldiers every year. As time goes by, it is becoming impossible to enlist that many. For example, if you look at the number of babies born last year, in 20 years, only 100,000 will be eligible for military service. That's only half of what we need. Special measures are essential to strengthen and maintain our defense capabilities.
Which is why we want to shed light on today's topic. Globally, only 10 countries conscript both men and women. Do you think female conscription can be a viable solution to the shrinking troop size problem?
I do not believe that conscripting women is a realistic option. The issue is complex, as it is not only a military problem, but also a national and social one. The first thing to consider is whether it is really necessary for the military. The military has been carrying out defense reform and innovation. The key to this is to transform the quantitative military into qualitative military. The focus is on elite, high-quality defense personnel. So it is necessary to examine whether the conscription of women is consistent with this. Second, we need to look at cost effectiveness. Conscripting women will require a lot of money for things like facilities and welfare for women in the military. Finally, I think this is a national social issue. In the context of a population crisis with a low birth rate, we need to examine whether conscription of women is desirable from a national and social perspective, and whether it is an efficient use of human resources. I'm concerned and worried about that this issue has become a political issue. We need to examine the reason and the real benefits for both the military and the national society.
Professor Cha, I heard you loud and clear, but just hypothetically speaking, we are very in the early stages of this discussion. If female conscription is implemented in South Korea somewhere down the line, what kind of roles can women then assume to maximize their contribution in the military? As you've said, it's a complex issue. There's a social and cultural angle to it. There is this idea of, well, to create new infrastructure for women, would that be most expensive? But nonetheless, how can women assume a better position, I suppose, if they were conscripted?
Yeah. Some argue that women should serve in the military like men. However, women already serve in the military in South Korea. In our case, women serve as officers and NCOs through application and selection. There are men and women who want to join the military. This can be seen in the military academies. The competition rate for military academies is much higher for women than for men. It is desirable to increase the number of women in the military who are passionate, willing, and competent. However, forcing women who do not want to join the military is another matter and should be approached very carefully. Currently, women are serving in the South Korean military as officers and non-commissioned officers in a variety of roles. I don't think it's a matter of limiting the positions in which women can serve. It should be based on the individual wish, willingness, and ability. If women are only drafted for administrative roles and not for combat roles, it may be more effective to increase the number of civilian military personnel rather than conscripting women.
As you've said, not a quantitative means, but qualitative means, highlighting that fact once more. As we mentioned at the top of this segment, Denmark will become the third country in Europe to conscript women. Can you maybe explain to our listeners why are some European countries opting to then draft women, and how do they plan to utilize female conscripts?
I think the reason for the introduction of female conscription in Europe is due to the recent increase in security crisis caused by Russia, but I think it's basically a reflection of gender equality. However, a closer look at female conscription in Europe shows that it is not what we think of as conscription. In Norway, for example, there is conscription for women, but not all of them go into the military. Only 10 to 15% actually enlist. Because of the large number of applicants, the selection process is said to be tough. In some ways, the military is a desirable place to work. The pay, the benefits, and the ability to go home after work, even during the week, are attractive. I mean, it's very different from conscription, which you think of as all men go into the military, so all women should go. In Norway, there are no separate barracks for men and women. The barracks are shared between men and women. The same goes for the showers. So it is important to note that there are significant differences between European countries and Korea in terms of gender equality, military culture and environment, low recruitment rate of women, and fierce competition.
So, like any other private sector jobs, it should be a quality job that seems attractive for both men and women alike. I want to go back to a constitutional court ruling. South Korea's constitutional court upheld male-only conscription for the third time, saying it does not violate men's rights. But the court did call for national-level discussion on the issue to better adjust to changing demographics and societal expectations. What are some of the key points of the debate on female conscription, and what is your take on them, Professor Choi?
The Military Service Act states that women, unlike men, can only serve in the military on a voluntary basis. As you said, the Constitutional Court has ruled that this does not violate the equal rights. In addition, the Constitutional Court considers that the current male-only conscription system is reasonable to achieve optimal military strength given Korea's security and economic conditions. I agree with that. Of the more than 70 countries that have conscription, only a few draft women. I believe that the issue of drafting women should be addressed very carefully, taking into account the general situation in other countries, the level of awareness of gender equality, the physical differences between men and women, the effectiveness of utilization of human resources at the national level, the economic cost of drafting women, and the possibility of achieving social consensus. It is very complicated and a practically difficult issue to solve.
So we don't have a quick fix, which is why these kinds of discussions are absolutely warranted. And Professor Che, based on your expertise, I've got to ask for other options to fundamental solutions. Various suggestions have been made other than drafting women to discuss tackling Korea's shrinking military size. Can you tell us about some of the fundamental solutions, ways to achieve them? I've seen suggestions for longer service, expanding full-time soldiers, utilizing civilians, as you've said.
Yeah, first, I don't think it's a good idea to draft women right now. The most important thing is to get defense reform and innovation right. Maintaining the current 500,000 troops will soon be mathematically impossible. We must determine a feasible force size and build the best army possible. I believe it is necessary and desirable to reduce the number of troops to 300,000 in the future. In addition, the number of civilian personnel in the military must be increased. The civilian workforce in the military is very small, both in number and in role, compared to other countries. The expansion of a civilian workforce should be actively pursued to ensure a skilled defense workforce. And we must also expand the participation of women in military service. We should enable passionate and capable women to contribute fully to the military. Currently, there are many women who want to join, but only a few are selected. We need to increase the proportion of women among officers and NCOs. I believe that the population crisis is a good opportunity for defense reform and innovation. We must strive to have a small but strong army, and we must succeed.
Professor Che, we appreciate your insights. Hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you very much.
We spoke to Professor Che Byung-wook from the Department of National Security at Sangmyeong University. If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.